Welcome to Tashma, the podcast where you get to listen in on Hadar's Beit Midrash. This year, each week, we will hear a Dvar Torah on the Parsha from Rabbi David Kasher. Let's listen.
Throughout our history, one of the central institutions of a Jewish community has been the mikveh. Immersion in this ritual bath was required in temple times in order to purify oneself after coming into contact with various types of tumah, ritual impurity. Since then, the practical need for a mikveh has been relegated primarily to the laws of sex and conversion. Yet the mikveh has taken on a greater significance in Jewish life than its specific halachic applications would suggest. Over time, many customs have developed for using the mikveh for various elective spiritual needs. My father went to the mikveh every Erev Shabbat. Some have the custom to go to the mikveh only once a year, on Erev Yom Kippur. Many Hasidim try to go every day. And modern mikveh rituals have developed to mark all manner of life cycle events. All these practices reflect a sense that the mikveh is more than just a technical feature of the priestly purity system. It has become a place that offers the possibility of spiritual transformation. How did the mikveh come to take on this greater symbolic quality? It's in Parshat Shmini that we come upon the first usage of the word mikveh that reminds us of the mikveh we're familiar with today. The book of Leviticus makes frequent reference to the need to wash oneself in water, rachatz b'mayim, yet the word mikveh only appears once in the entire book, toward the end of the kosher laws in chapter 11. The Torah gives us various qualifications for kosher mammals and fish, and then begins naming specific animals, types of birds, rodents, and reptiles, which are off-limits because they are impure, tameh. Having established these animals as forbidden to eat, the Torah then adds that even contact with their carcasses, their nevelot, can transfer impurity. V'chol asher yipol minivlatam alav yitma. Everything on which the carcass of any of them falls shall be impure. An oven or stove shall be smashed. They are impure, and impure they shall remain for you. Ach, mayan uvor, mikveh mayim hiye tahor. However, a spring or cistern, a mikveh of water, will remain pure. But whoever touches such a carcass in it shall be impure. The word mikveh is based on the root kuf vav he, which forms the verb likvot, to collect or gather. So the spring or the cistern can be called a mikveh mayim because they are gatherings of water. Here we have a discrete, roughly person-sized collection of water, and it's associated with purity. This is not yet a description of the ritual mikveh, but this is the first verse that will be central in the rabbinic discussion of its features. The spring, for example, will be considered a mikveh in which one can ritually immerse. When we turn to the later books of Tanakh, however, we find the word mikveh used in a very different way. After the Torah, it is the prophet Yirmiyahu who uses the term most frequently, three times in all. However, the word, as Yirmiyahu uses it, does not refer to water, but to hope. Mikveh, here, is a noun form not of the verb likvot, to gather, but of another verb built on the same kufvavhe root, likavot, to hope. Now, there is a more common noun for hope, tikva, which is used dozens of times in Tanakh. Yirmiyahu himself uses the word tikva in this way twice. Yet he reserves the word mikveh, for hope, for a particular kind of use. Mikveh Yisrael, Moshiyo be'et tzara. Hope of Israel, its deliverer in times of trouble. Why are you like a stranger in the land, like a traveler who stops only for the night? Here, too, mikveh means hope, but the particular phrase Mikveh Yisrael is, in this context, a reference to God. For God is the ultimate hope of Israel. Or at least, Yirmiyahu insinuates, God should be, but instead is acting like a stranger to Israel. Yirmiyahu uses this term for God two more times, But it's the second usage that becomes especially significant in the development of the symbolism of the mikveh. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, hope of Israel, the Eternal. Kol ozvecha yevoshu, all who forsake you will be ashamed. Vasurei ba'aretz yikatevu, those in the land who turn from you will be recorded. Ki azvu makor mayim chayim et Hashem, for they have forsaken the Eternal, the source of living waters. Here, once again, God is the mikveh, the hope of Israel, and once again, Yirmiyahu's expression of Israel's ideal relationship to God only serves to highlight the estrangement that has taken place between them. But centuries later, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva finds a more optimistic reading of this verse, and in doing so, also suggests a connection between the two uses of the word mikveh. We find his reading in the last Mishnah in Masechet Yoma. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashrechem Yisrael, lifnei mi atem mitarim umi metaher etchem. Rabbi Akiva said, happy are you, Israel, before whom are you purified, and who purifies you? Avichem shabashamayim, it is your Father in heaven, as it says, Vezarakti aleichem mayim tehorim utahartem. And I will throw pure water upon you, and you will be purified. Ezekiel 36. And it says, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, the mikveh of Israel, the Eternal. Jeremiah 17. Ma mikveh metaher et hatmeim, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu metaher et Yisrael. Just as a mikveh purifies the impure, so does the Holy Blessed One purify Israel. Rabbi Akiva is borrowing from the imagery we found in Leviticus, where water was an agent of purification, except that now he's speaking of a spiritual impurity that Israel bears, and God is the purifying agent. He brings two proof texts for that analogy. The first, from the prophet Yechezkel, is a verse that will become central to the Yom Kippur liturgy. Yechezkel is also borrowing from Leviticus's Tahor Tameh polarity, with God throwing pure water on Israel to purify them. The second source Rabbi Akiva brings, our verse from Yirmiyahu, pushes the metaphor a step further. Now God is not just throwing water upon Israel, God is the water. God has become the mikveh of Israel. Immersion in God is cleansing, like dipping into water from a spring. It appears at first to be Rabbi Akiva who's playing with Yirmiyahu's use of the word mikveh as a term for God. Where Yirmiyahu meant hope, Rabbi Akiva reads in the other meaning of mikveh and turns God into the great ritual bath. What a metaphor, and what an interpretive feat. However, if we look again at the verse that Rabbi Akiva quotes from Yirmiyahu, we find that the wordplay is already alluded to in the words of the prophet. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, hope of Israel, the Eternal. Kol ozvecha yevoshu, all who forsake you will be ashamed. Vesurei ba'aretz yikatevu, and those in the land who turn from you will be recorded. Ki azvu makor mayim chayim et Hashem, for they have forsaken the Eternal, the source of living waters. Note that the verse begins with God as the Mikveh Yisrael and then ends by calling God also the Mekor Mayim Chaim, the source of living waters. More water imagery and more language from Leviticus, where we read that one must wash one's body in living waters. We can see that Yirmiyahu is already aware of the double meaning in the word. It is he who deliberately summons the image of the mikveh back in our parsha to suggest that God can serve the same function that once required a ritual bath. We purge ritual impurity by immersing in a designated measure of water. But God is the true mikveh of Israel, who can purge us of all our impurities and bring us back into a state of spiritual purity. But of course, Yirmiyahu also intends the contextual meaning of the word. God is the hope of Israel. Remember that Yirmiyahu summoned this image during a time of trouble, Eit Tzara, when God was like a stranger in the land, calling upon the hope of Israel to once again be their deliverer. To immerse in God, then, means to plunge ourselves into hopefulness, to sink into our faith. and to believe that we will be changed when we emerge from the source of living waters. The prophet Yirmiyahu drew from the waters of Leviticus to give us powerful new metaphors for God. But let us not forget the transference of meaning moves in both directions. Just as God becomes the mikveh of Israel, so every communal mikveh becomes a place to experience contact with God. As we immerse in the living waters of the mikveh, we have an opportunity to imagine being totally immersed in the Holy One, surrounded by the cleansing, revitalizing force of the ultimate mikveh.
Our producers for this episode are Sam Greenberg and Jeremy Tabak. Thank you to Nadav Remez for editing this episode. I'm your host, Rabbi Avi Killip. It's been a pleasure to learn with you.